First off, let's start with today's development. It seems to kind of go under the radar yesterday until this morning, but a second reading vote now happening for Bill C-45 today. Going into this, you know, what are your thoughts on a word that it may not pass, and are you even hoping it will?
Well, I have mixed emotions about the Cannabis Act Bill C-45 because on the one hand, it is being called legalization and it has a lot of excitement behind it. But the details of the legislation actually introduce a lot more tough, harsh penalties than the current law. So it goes from 8 marijuana offenses today to 45 marijuana offenses under Bill C-45 with 14-year maximums available, which equates it to pornography with children and terrorism. So in the details, Bill C-45 has a lot of bad stuff going on. So I don't support that. But if Canada does not pass legalization this summer, that's going to be disappointing and distressing news for people all around the world, especially the business side of things who have a lot of money invested in this thing being passed.
And you know exactly, you touched on it there, that there are some major concerns for, you know, activists like yourself regarding this bill. The major one, you know, being these majorly increased penalties that we're going to be seeing as well. So are there any other, you know, major concerns for you that were kind of plaguing this bill before, you know, there was even word that it was going to get a second vote today?
Well, I've always been supporting legalization, and most Canadians do for the same reasons. You're not supposed to criminalize us for cannabis. You're supposed to legalize the existing industry that's already worth billions of dollars for decades. And we're supposed to stop wasting millions of dollars, hundreds of millions, on law enforcement for marijuana. But under Bill C-45, the Cannabis Act, it continues to criminalize many Canadians. It continues to criminalize the existing industry with even harsher punishments. And it increases spending for marijuana law enforcement, which is very strange given that you don't need to enforce the law against something that's not against the law. So really the details aren't so great, but in the bigger picture, we have to look at what legalization means worldwide. And there will be a lot of concern around the world if this fails to pass. I was campaigning in Washington State and Colorado for the bills that passed there. But when it failed in 2010 in California, that was really a big problem. So we do want to see this pass, but I think there are so many problems in it. And when the conservatives say they don't support it, I agree with them in some ways, but we come at it from completely opposite approaches.
Well, for sure. That's what I was going to say. You know, it's kind of a double-edged sword. Like, as you're saying, you know, all eyes are on Canada as we're doing this. So as much as, you know, it'll not be good if legalization is delayed at this point, you know, it would, the process would start over. So for people that have exactly, you know, been kind of disappointed with many of these aspects, it's not necessarily, you know, the worst thing. But as you're saying, all eyes on Canada as we're going towards this. So, you know, theoretically, if the bill passes today, it'll go to committee where we'll learn even more about it. So what would the steps be for you and, you know, other activists like yourself still pushing for changes as this process proceeds?
Well, we need to continue to push for amnesty for all the nonviolent, peaceful victims of marijuana laws. And we need to ask for the existing industry, the nonviolent Canadian market, to be legalized, to not be excluded. And it's very strange to see that the Liberal government is almost becoming the Conservatives in terms of what they're promoting. Because when the Conservatives criticize the Liberals for legalization about children and gangs and all of their fears, the Liberals seem to adopt those concerns, put it into their legislation, and become their opposition. So I think we're lacking courage in the government. I think there's a lot of political cowardice with the Liberals. They should be promoting cannabis as a safer choice and an economic growth opportunity, but instead they're capitulating to all the conservative fears and catering to their concerns and desires when we should be defending the plant and the people of this industry who deserve to have amnesty and an opportunity to be legal first-class citizens instead of stigmatized and demonized and criminalized like we're seeing people today and tomorrow and under the laws ahead.
So when, you know, you have these factors where legalization's happening and then you see the government's, you know, announcing that it's going to cost, you know, millions in policing, that's not necessarily the best, you know, for a public perception regardless either. So here where we are in Waterloo Region, our police board meeting outlined that officers would be spending up to almost $4 million this year for police with legal pot. That's a federal fund of $274 million. What are your thoughts on, you know, that big whopping amount for legalization?
Oh, this is absolute reefer madness redefined. How can the government possibly maintain the existing cannabis enforcement budgets, which cost nearly $1 billion across the country combined, and then promise another $250 million federally, hundreds of millions in each province? Every city is up in arms about getting millions too. How can it cost more money to enforce the law against something that's not supposed to be against the law? But cannabis criminalization has been a cash cow for cops. And when you look at the stats of crime, and I just shared some on Twitter today, cannabis and drug crimes make up the majority of the police work. So they're terrified of losing this cash cow. And that's why you see new tough penalties being introduced, new cannabis cop forces to go after people, and all these promises of more and more money. Meanwhile, Canadians like myself can't even get a doctor. We can't even get the health care we're supposed to have or the education. We've got other things that tax money should be going towards. So it's extremely offensive that this money of ours is being used to persecute our fellow citizens instead of improving their health and providing opportunities. So I'm going to keep campaigning, as always, for true legalization, where we can see Canadians free from the criminal records and persecution and stigma they suffer, and we can see the multi-billion dollar existing industry transition and lead Canada on the world stage with innovation and manufacturing and growing and technology and tourism. We have a great opportunity here, but if we continue to restrict and limit access, that's just what prohibition was. That's what the Liberals are promising with this legislation. That's what the police are hoping to see. That's not legalization. So we've got more work ahead and an election on many levels, provincially, locally, and federally in the next 2 years. So get engaged and get active, as always.
So there's the money factor, but also, you know, our police chief here stressed yesterday that locally legal pot wouldn't be taking attention away from the opioid crisis. But are you concerned that that will be the case in other cities, you know, as we're seeing?
Well, actually, when you bring up opioid crisis and you look to the United States, there are numerous studies showing that where marijuana access is more available, opioid use, overdoses, and deaths go down by up to 33%. There are piles of studies showing that more cannabis access reduces opioid deaths. So if we want to be serious about the opioid crisis, prohibition and criminalization doesn't work and never has. That's causing this crisis. So we need full decriminalization, full legalization, the promotion of cannabis as a safer choice, not only for opioids and painkillers, but also to replace alcohol. We know that most police work with violent crime, dangerous crime, sexual assault, theft, robbery, a lot of these crimes have alcohol as a contributing factor. So where alcohol is more available and cannabis is less available, you see more violent crime. And in the United States, they found where marijuana is more available, people use it instead of alcohol as a safer choice. And that's public health safety benefits. And when they try and restrict and limit access, we see more people using opioids and alcohol. So we have to end the criminalization of cannabis and drugs if we really want to solve the problems associated with cannabis and drugs.
But, you know, police across the country, all of them the same message, the big focus or fear around legalization and road safety that they've been putting out in media even is that, you know, it's going to be on road safety. But our chief said he's sure people are driving high and they've been doing it for, you know, decades. So what's your interpretation of, you know, that being the main issue or angle that's kind of being put out there, pot causing more crashes?
Well, we know the studies show that that's just not true. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration of the U.S. government studied cannabis and driving and said there's no increase in crashes. You also have the American Automobile Association analyzing all of these studies, finding the same. There are no increase in crashes from cannabis. The American Journal of Public Health also found the same thing. So people can look this up online, just on Twitter or anywhere, Jody Emery and driving and cannabis. And there's 25 years of studies from Canada, the US, the UK, all around the world, studying this for a very long time. And we know that you cannot put a limit of THC on driving. It just doesn't work that way. But my concern, and many lawyers across this country, their concern too, is that police are trying to shift their future budgets from possession arrests to driving enforcement. And this is going to result in unfair criminal penalties and deprivations of liberty of our fellow citizens for arbitrary rules and laws that are unscientific. We have to be concerned about impaired driving, to be sure. But cannabis is not a concern, or we would already see it and have stats like texting and driving is proven to increase crashes, and you can measure that. But cannabis, it's not an issue on the roads, but there's a lot of fear being put out there by the government and by police to try and justify criminal penalties and new budgets. But when it comes down to the actual science and the evidence, it's proven that cannabis is not a big concern for drivers. And like you said, the police chief said, it's already been going on forever. We'd see problems if there was a problem, but we don't. And I should add that medical marijuana users who are legitimately hurting and suffering often depend on cannabis to be able to get up and drive and go and live a healthy life. So to deny them the right to drive is to deny them their full rights as a citizen. Well, we know that the government is so misinformed about cannabis, and they're really approaching this from a fear-based angle, and So when they have this misinformation being put out there, it does a major disservice. It makes people not trust them when they're sharing legitimate concerns. So when the government is lying about cannabis and driving, and people can go online and find all the proof to show that they're lying, it makes them not willing to trust them when legitimate concerns are put out there. Maybe drinking and driving isn't so bad, teenagers might think, because they know that they're being lied to about the pot and driving propaganda. So governments need to be honest and really use the science, but they're not, and they're not looking to where the best practices exist. In Colorado, I was just on a debate panel at the International Auto Show in Toronto, and I was on a panel with the Colorado Chief of Transportation who was in charge of this, and he said it's not a major concern. The only reason they're finding cannabis in people's systems more is because they're finally looking for it. So it shows up months after the fact, which means it's not connected to the actual driving performance, but it is unfairly painting a picture of driving and cannabis being a concern. But it's true that more people are going to try this when it's legal, and we have to have responsible, honest education about how to use it safely. So don't drive if you're a novice cannabis consumer. Definitely don't drive if you're angry or tired or taking pharmaceuticals or can't drive for whatever reason. You have to promote responsible driving, but to scare people about pot and driving does a great disservice on so many levels, and it's going to be challenged by so many lawyers already that it's a shame we're wasting all of this time passing bad laws that are just going to have to be challenged in the courts later on for years to come.
And that's really the sentiment, you know, for many looking at this and, you know, back to the Senate taking place today. I'm sure it goes without saying, but you'll be keeping a watchful eye on the developments.
Absolutely. And we all have to pay close attention to this because our tax dollars and our personal liberty are at stake. And if we want to preserve and restore respect for police and the rule of law and the government, they have to do the same for us. We need respectful, honest information, not reefer madness, fear-based propaganda designed to justify continued criminalization. We need full legalization, and I'll keep pushing for that.
All right, Jody. Well, thank you again. It's always a pleasure to speak with you. And anything else maybe you'd just like to share before I let you go?
Well, we're having an exciting year ahead, but it really needs people to keep pushing for freedom and access because, as we're seeing in the United States, Jeff Sessions is now proposing the death penalty for selling 60,000 pounds or growing 60,000 plants. A lot of legal people in the legal industry are facing scary times ahead. So whenever we get progress, it can always go backwards. We have to keep engaging politically to make a difference, as always.